right, I think we're live on the radio. Yes, BBS? Let's see, it's Wednesday, July 5th, 2017. And I am located in the town of Paradise in California, and my name is Gilles Minderhout. May is here with us. We are way early on in the air, which is totally fine because we are here, and I want to play a tune for you, May, but I don't have a wind song ready yet.
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
I'm not going to die real soon, so.
Good. Stick to that promise, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, thank you for being here, May.
Oh, thank you. We wouldn't be able to do it without you, really.
Oh, absolutely, you would be. But, hey, I'm glad to have this, some sort of a function in Win his escapades of doing what he's doing, and I'm happy to be here.
Did you catch any fireworks at all?
I haven't heard of any, nothing. I heard two friends were texting to one another. The one said, "What? Your dog is scared of the fireworks?" He said, "Mine starts searching for dead duck throughout the house."
Looking for what?
Dead duck through the house.
Dead duck?
Yes, because he's a hunter and it's a hunting dog.
Oh, got it. Okay. Okay. But that's a good one. Okay. So you don't get any fireworks over by Paradise?
Here in Paradise, I don't think you do fireworks, and I haven't heard any, so I guess not.
Mm.
They do big one in Chico usually, and also in Oroville near the lake, as far as I know, every year. So, yes. Good evening. Somebody else joined in. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Hello. Good evening, John. Welcome.
Hello, guys.
And we are here with May, and I was about to play another song, only 5 minutes left. Shall I play a song? I'll keep the mics open, and we just keep chatting.
So just three of us, no one else?
Well,
correct.
And BBS.
Yes.
John, what's happening with Illinois? I think you mentioned it the other day.
If you want to look up, just look up Illinois, and then type in B. I don't even say anymore. It's an ugly site, so it's
that's okay. I don't have internet, so that's all right. It's okay. I'm sure if it's going to affect California, I'll eventually hear it.
Do you know the B word, bankruptcy?
Well, yes, but is it due to corruption or is it mismanagement? What is it due to? And it's going to be affecting every state or just some states?
First, Illinois. I mean, they no longer can even, they've been kicked out, booted out of the Powerball, which means they can't even use that as a source of income anymore. Imagine if you had like income of like $2,000 and you had $5,000 in expenses every month. They just took away from you the Powerball, and now they only have $1,500 in income, and they still have to pay $5,000 expenses every month. You get it now?
Yes, I do, but is that...
But guess what? Greece made it.
Well, unless they... Now, listen, my newsletter is basically the solution to it. Bitcoin is basically the solution to all the financial problems in the world are having right now. And until politicians are smart enough to understand that that's the solution, you're going to have the same problem, you know, again and again and again, like a broken record. So there really aren't that many people who are politicians that are smart. I mean, most of them are just there just to take money from people and, you know, take money from the state and have these $100,000, $150,000 pensions. And
John, I want to greet that person. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Dharmananda, Boulder Creek, California.
Welcome to the call, Dharmananda. How are you?
Thank you.
John, how is Bitcoin going to stop corruption? I don't get it.
You're going to have to read my newsletter.
Oh, well, thank you. Should I send you a stamp or what?
I have a very long article. It's pretty long.
You know, maybe you can send it to that guy that needed some web stuff, and maybe he'll tell me about it.
It basically prevents fraud. I mean, it's a distributed peer-to-peer system. basically anyone who wants to can become part of the blockchain by downloading the blockchain onto the computer. You know, and but you'd have to have a pretty fast computer, and you have to have like at least three of these video cards just in order to barely make $3 a month for Bitcoin, but for mining. But the point is that Bitcoin is the only hope this planet has right now of surviving. I believe it's not the, maybe not the, all right, cryptocurrency, I should say, or one hope, okay? There's also gold and silver, so that's another possibility. But the average person still thinks that U.S. dollar has value in it, and it's been dwindling in value for since 1913, when the Federal Reserve Bank was created by the Rothschild family and the Warburgs and the Schiffs and J.P. Morgan and several other families, 13 families. So right now, we've lost 98.5% of the U.S. dollar since 1913, purchasing power. And it continues to lose purchasing power through quantitative easing 1, quantitative easing 2, quantitative easing 3, and so forth. The more dollars that are out there, the less purchasing power you have.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jeannie. Hi.
Hi, Jeannie. Good evening to you and welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
All right. Somebody else joined in. Welcome. Is it Bob?
Hey, I'm here, Oz.
How you doing, man?
I'm beating the heat pretty good.
Yes, yes, yes. I know what you're talking about. Well, welcome to the call, Bob.
Thank you. Thank you kindly, and love to all of you.
Thank you so much. Right back at you. And I welcome all those folks that are here joining in online through BBS Radio. It is 6 o'clock Pacific, and Vin shall be here very shortly, I hope. Another call, another conference, another simulcast. If you have questions, we have answers. And I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Cecil, the C6 Serpent from Seattle.
Hello, Cecil. Good to hear your voice. Thank you for being here.
Hi, it's Cleo in Connecticut.
Hello, Cleo. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Good evening to you, Jane, and welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I welcome those again that just came in on BBS on tonight's show. Welcome to the next caller. Good evening. Welcome. If you want to please say your name and location.
Hi, hi. This is Joni in St. Louis.
Hi, Joni. Welcome. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for being here.
That didn't sound good.
It's like the big factory, you know, and then also they need to burn out their exhaust, right? Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Terry in Dallas.
Hello, Terry in Dallas. Welcome.
Hello, and thank you.
All right. And somebody else joined in. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, 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 everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Don.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Don.
Thanks.
All right. May from Concord.
Yes, sir.
Will you please, can I hand the mic to you? I'll give Vin a call.
Not a problem.
Thank you.
Oh, and John, thank you for your comments. I do appreciate them.
Yeah, my newsletter should be coming out, I guess, I don't know if it's next month or what. You have to talk to Deb from Oregon about
it. Oh, okay,
it.
So she can clue me in then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to announce yourself?
Yes, positive greetings from Arizona.
Raiden, positive greetings to you also. This is May out in California.
You. This is who?
May. Like
hi,
mailing
May.
A letter? M-A-Y?
Yes. Hello.
Good evening.
We're all call.
You got it?
I got it.
Thank you.
Few people joined in here in the last minute. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's me, Edna.
Edna Kuden-Abbins. Welcome to the call, Edna.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
All right. I think somebody else came in with you. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Sherry Arizona.
Hello, welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location. Welcome. Who else joined in? Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
It's Wynn.
Hello, Wynn. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Hello, hi. Well,
7-11.
Hi, Deb.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Glad.
Thank you for being here, and thanks to all those folks that are listening to BBS Radio. We have another, if you have questions, we have answers episode, and Wynn, I would like to hand the mic to you.
All right. Okay, so before I start the tape recorder running, you notice how old I am? I call it a tape recorder. I don't know tape recorders anymore, right? Jerry, are you there?
Teddy is on the line,
yeah,
yes.
I'm here, yeah.
Hello, Teddy. Good evening to you.
Hi.
How are you feeling tonight?
Good.
Are you healing?
Yes.
We're getting bunches more of good stuff to do. Who just came on the call? Is there anyone new on the call tonight?
Oh, it's Chris in Memphis.
Okay. So since there's nobody new on the call, and since I have this worst nightmare, all right, it's the worst nightmare. You know, after I sent that email out yesterday about my past life, okay? So I'm going to give you guys an example of how to go into your worst nightmare and face it, okay?
My worst nightmare is customer service.
It is.
I didn't get the right order.
So my current worst nightmare, okay, maybe, I'm sure I have other ones. Anyone know what it is?
No.
Said I'm going to come on the call, and somebody like Chris is going to say, "Hi, Ben."
I never would do that.
You wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't do that. I might throw a little hints at the, here and there, but I would never out and say it.
I see. Now, Heise would never do it. Heise would never do it, okay?
I would never do it because I didn't get it. I didn't get the email.
Oh, well, you're going to have to suffer.
I mean, I've known it for years.
When did you drop me? Me either.
I didn't drop. Well, you know, every day I go through with the Elohim and they say, take this person off the list. Take that person off the list.
I never get any anymore. Me either.
Well, you know, I haven't been sending the emails out before the call. Okay?
Yeah.
But I did send a bunch of emails out yesterday. If you didn't get emails yesterday, then there's a problem.
Yeah,
if you send me, if you send me an email, and make sure it's from the email.
Opener what?
Emails. Then I will double check that you're on the list. But oftentimes the problem is that people are on the list, but for some reason the email gets blocked. And if you ever, even one time, take an email that I send you and call it spam, then even by mistake, what happens is your email server will send a note to my email server and they'll stop sending you emails, okay? So never do that, okay? Unless you want to, all right? Okay, so here's my worst nightmare, all right? You ready? All you guys are going to say hello to who I was in my past lifetime, I think, okay? And I'm going to have to deal with it. I just, like, make it up front. You ready? One, two, three.
Hey, Frankie.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Jermaine. How you doing, Benji?
There we go. There we go. There we go. There we
Daddy
go.
Ben.
Benjamin.
Who didn't get the email?
I didn't. I figured it out.
I didn't.
I haven't gotten it for a long time.
It was the 4th of July, so I figured I'd tell people. And in the email, I told people how I found out, okay? And I sent a picture of me and Ben. And, you know, I just wish I could petition the Treasury to give me a tiny little gift.
So oh, you got a goddamn copyright on the picture.
Actually, copyrights, those things run out after 100 years, so you can't do it, okay? But you think they'd be at least make an exception in this case.
I mean, reincarnation calls?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. But in any case, it was like, I didn't really want to know that when I found out. I really didn't want to know. It's like too much on my plate, you know. But they told me. And then today, the reason I'm bringing it up again is because Terry and I did a challenge. And I asked them, see, I didn't ask about before I put that out yesterday. And
you asked
sometimes,
me, but you didn't ask them.
Yeah, I mentioned it to you, but I didn't do a session on it.
Right.
Because it's not always good to put out those things, and sometimes it can work against you. And I said, okay, I put this out, and maybe it's a really good, you know, good excuse to go on George Norrie and talk about it, but do I really want to do that? Is that going to have good impact on the work we're doing? I mean, at one point I said, should I put a website about talking to Robin Williams? You know, you guys remember when we were doing that? And they said, no, we don't recommend that because you'll get all kinds of weird looking loos coming into your group. It will be a pain in the neck to deal with, okay? So, because those are things that, you know, would attract attention, okay? But it's not just about attracting attention. It's about what are you going to have to cope with that attention, you know? Another, like, interesting thing that's happened in the last couple of weeks, or last week even, there were two people who came onto Whole Planet Healing, and who were new, and I have not gone out and talked about it, you know, even though I intend to. The two people that were new came on, and both of them, in both of their cases, they got back with me and said they couldn't handle the energy on the call, okay? Which surprised me. I didn't have a clue that would happen, but it did. And so I asked them the question, you know, is this not a good thing to do, to invite people to a whole planet healing call? And they said, let's see, who's making all that noise? Is that John Ciborowski? No. Okay. And they said, am I recording yet? I should be recording some of this.
No, we're not.
Well, let me continue without recording. We're still on BBS. If I really want to get it, we can get the download from BBS. But they said that I shouldn't make such a big thing of having the Elohim group and the Ra group coming in to your field because it scares people. They don't know what it is. And maybe it's something dark. And so their anxiety would make them have a bad experience with the whole thing. So if I start doing it a little differently, then that's why. Okay? All right. Now we'll start. Officially.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
This is July 5th, 2017. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and another edition of Whole Planet Healing. Wait a second. Take it back. That's at 7. This is another edition of You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers, where people have the opportunity to ask questions, to our sources, and I'm just posting the last two questions, and Terry channels the answers. And, you know, it's interesting that we've been getting so few new questions recently. And I think it's because you guys have asked yourself out. And, you know, Chris, I just got your question. Okay, I got all my questions in line. And Terry, let's see. I'm not going to ask if you're ready because I know you're not. But, let's just make sure your phone is unmuted.
Yeah, I'm unmuted.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask, oh my God, let me clear my throat. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here and each person listening on the internet and to the replays. See, because I added that, I forgot the whole thing. We ask for the presence of the light surround and protect each person here and everybody else. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of the planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our soul. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It brings our heart joy to even say those words, the one infinite creator, and to connect with each and every one of you who wishes to be connected with. We also comes into the forefront when we move into the space of Earth, the different things that are going on. For instance, the conflict between North Korea and the USA and South Korea, that is an energy, expressed in an energy, and it is on the forefront when one tunes in to the planet Earth. The energy is overriding from the conflict and the fear and the anger, and it is a matter when one thing is done, for instance the Korean War before, and it carries over in unknown ways into the future as people in the past have felt violated and have come forth again to bring up their issues. We take a moment and we step aside from those energies and we tune in to the sweetness of families that are working towards each other to help each other to have the best for their own family and their children. And if we ever say anything that does not resonate with you, then disregard it as it is not meant for you at that time. If we answer a question and it does not same, even though it's the same question you had to apply to you, then disregard it, because there's different answers to the same question for different people. Do you have questions?
Well, I'm going to ask a question about what you were talking about. And it seems to me, as I've looked at recent history, there's a lot of events in the world that happen that are actually scripted, even though they look like they're spontaneous things. Scripted, they're planned, they're false flags. And is the whole thing between North Korea and the United States genuine hostility? Which it could be. Probably is, but I'm just asking, is it genuine hostility or is it scripted?
When an event or a situation is scripted, it cannot succeed unless it captures the anger, the attention of the people involved. And that's what is apparent in the emotions in connection with that. The scripters then recede into the background, and the energy in comparison with the furor that they inscribe is very small. So their part recedes, and the anger that takes over is what is noticeable. The anger, the energy, the emotion is what is overriding. So is this event scripted? The people are playing their part definitely in this. There is a lot of personal angst behind what they choose to follow and what they don't choose to follow emotionally. There is a reason for their angst somewhere back in time and their subconscious. The North Korean people have a lack of food that is disturbing to them when they see the success of South Korea, and there is such a lack of food that the North Koreans are shorter than they would have been if they had enough food. So it is a perpetuated situation.
Thank you. So, in a certain sense, it may have been scripted, but it was scripted based on real underlying feelings and
yes.
circumstances, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes things are scripted and then are blown up to create emotions and dissatisfaction, and eventually the emotions take over and everyone forgets how the organization came into being.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. John Siboransky asks the following question, and he wants to know if he came from the planet Maldek, which was destroyed 700,000 or so years ago, and we'll go ahead and answer that.
Thank you. We see that you have visited Maldek, but we do not see you were there at the time of the explosion. But we don't wish to write your track for you. It is better if you yourself personally remember.
Thank you. Okay. Chris in Memphis asks, did I come in this life with a contract to have a drug experience and then to overcome and help others? Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. We see that you came in with a contract to help others, and you were led into those experiences by your venture to explore. If those experiences hadn't been around, then you would have had other activities. It wasn't particularly written that you would get into the drug experience. It was more general than that. Getting into such an experience does give you the experience of how that would have affected people, how it affects other people, and so moving out of it helps you to be able to help others.
Okay. I want to ask a more general question here. Is oftentimes people use the term contract, okay? And I'm not sure that even though it's a very common term, that people come into this life with contract, I'm not sure it's an appropriate term. Because a contract means an agreement with you and someone else. And it's like saying, I'm going to come in, and who are you making an agreement with? I think you come into a life, you might make, come into a life because there's something that you want to work out here, okay? Or you want to help someone that you care about. Or maybe you have karma that you can clear, and you come in to clear the karma. Can our sources give some clarification on that?
Thank you. Sometimes there is a contract made between people that are here and people that are coming in, and they make a contract that will say, like, if someone has taken a life, then they may feel, or they may make a contract to give a personal life to make up for what they have done. Sometimes they make a firm contract, like a child might come in and make the contract that he wants to be here for 2 years and then leave. And then the parents may feel guilty or think not understand what has happened, but you can have a contract with yourself, or you can have a contract with other people. Like, you may have a contract with the parents. So it isn't something necessarily written down, but it is a commitment in one's soul that they can come in and they can move through an experience and leave at a certain time, or that they can have a certain experience with certain people. There can be that contract. A commitment of the soul. That's you, man. Did you drop out? Okay, this is Jerry. I'm coming out of channeling. I'm going to go.
Okay, I'm back. I'm back.
Okay. All right, now I got to go back in. All right.
Okay, Liz. I accidentally muted myself.
I figured. All right, I'm going back into channeling mode. All right, go ahead.
We can't hear you.
When we can't hear you. Hello, Wynn. Calling Wynn. Hello. He may not realize. So, let me call and see what's going on. Alright. You know, I like the feeling that the Elohim and the Ma group give me. They give me a good feeling. So, I'm going to his room to see where he's going to. And I realized he looked out. No. Yeah, the Elohim and the Rob group, they put me in a real good mood.
All right. I'm sorry. I dropped out. Okay?
Yes.
Or something. All right. Did you hear anything of me talking before?
No, nothing. Just that
did you
muted yourself.
You never heard me when I unmuted myself, right?
Well, all it was is you muted yourself and then you were gone again.
All right. So let's just bring in the light.
All right. I see the light. I see it.
Mm-hmm. And the question I had is, do people ever make agreements on the other side to come into this realm to work together to be of service? And if they do, how do they arrange to find each other?
You find each other through these frequencies, the frequencies of yearning, the frequencies of wanting, that it is almost at a subconscious level that you put out frequency and you ask that someone, you're asking that someone can come in, that you can work with, and the frequency is for home seek, like seeking the frequency and find each other. And then it will seem maybe synchronistic or accidental, but it is not, because there is a homing frequency there that the people hone in on.
Thank you. Next question from Don Herman. And I have heard of people who have had life-changing, Satori-like experiences.
Is that word?
Satori.
S-A-T-O-R-I.
Satori. Yeah.
Satori.
Yeah.
What is the meaning of Satori?
Satori means like an enlightenment epiphany or something like that. Okay?
All right.
Satori-like experiences of tremendous amounts of knowledge being transmitted into them, often through the top of their head.
Yes.
What is actually going on in these situations? Sometimes people talk about, I got a download. That's one of the things, the terminologies they use.
Yes.
What is going on in these situations? And what is it about these particular people that allowed them to have these experiences and not me? He didn't say that. I actually think... Go ahead.
These people have done their homework. Probably in the past life, they have worked very, very hard and have built a library of knowledge, or they are connected with a library of knowledge because of their intent, intention to find out, to connect, to learn more. Some people carry their own library. There are a library in their space of riffs and phrases and knowledge that they have put together lifetime over lifetime, and it becomes like a knowledge library that they have access to, and they can just reach into and pull out the information they are looking at or looking for. It takes an intense amount of work over a number of lifetimes to build such a library that carries with one, unless one that connects with such a library on the other side. The Akashic Records are a library that can be tapped into. That takes knowledge of how to move out of the physical and move into the higher vibration so that one can connect. And then one needs to know how to interpret the frequencies that are coming in, the information that is coming in, that they can translate it into their own awareness.
You know, a little trick that you might try, anyone can try this, is ask yourself a question as if you were a master. Think that the answer is somewhere inside you. And then start writing the answer faster than you can think the answer up. And don't worry about what you write. Don't be self-conscious. And the goal is to bypass the filter part of your brain that will be self-conscious when looking at it. So,
yeah, some of the people that don't have the ability are within their own sphere, their own bubble, and they don't know how to reach out of their bubble and reach through the veil and pull in information. It is a trick that one can learn, but one has to be able to set aside their own matrix and their own bubble and reach outside.
Yes. Remember that you're in a timeline, and to access a higher timeline, you have to go into time and spread it out. If you imagine that time was something that was visible, you know, we're in time, but we don't think of time. I mean, we have a feeling when time is passing slowly or faster, but we don't think about it that much because it seems like an absolute. So it's kind of like create the visual that you can imagine that time was solid, okay? And you could see it, right? And you, it was like you put your two hands together and move them into space, and then move your hands apart like you're pushing time to the side. Then move further. Keep pushing time to the sides. And it's like if you're doing this while you're writing, you'll find that you push time to the side, and words start pouring in, and you just write them down. You don't worry about what you're writing. It may sound stupid. You may be self-conscious, but you're not showing anybody. This is your own exercise with yourself of trying to tap into your own higher levels of guidance and wisdom, which we all have, but our conscious mind, our linear mind, will block it from us. So you have to write so fast that your linear mind does not have time to grab it and see what you're writing or think about it or think that's really profound. If you notice when I talk, a good portion of the time, I do that. It's why time kind of takes a different pace.
Yeah,
when I get
time.
Pardon me?
It's like jumping timelines.
Timelines.
To be able to reach out, it takes a different part of the thinking of the brain.
Right. But it takes a certain amount of confidence to do it publicly. Because you have to learn that when you do it, you're not going to sound dumb, okay? But if you're doing it with yourself, you can experiment and say, okay, I self. And you have to write faster than you can think. Faster than you can think. Ask yourself a question and write faster than you can think. And see if you can solve any problems. Like ask a question like, how am I supposed to make more money? And then start writing, you know, whatever keeps writing and writing and writing. And see if you can get to the point where you're not self-conscious. Or how do I improve this? Or how do I go deeper in my meditation? Or blah, 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 you name it, right? And we did this on a call once live where each person started talking faster than they could think. And it was just amazing what people could up with, that people could actually do it, and they were wiser than they knew they were. So you can try that. That's my suggestion.
The mind can be really slow, and it can be inaccurate, too.
Okay. Next question here is from Edna. Edna wants to open her gift of healing. In some sense, I think she has it, but already opened, still opening. But she has the gift of healing and to increase her spiritual awareness. And she's asking if she had a session with Kimberly, would that help her?
Definitely. Kimberly knows how to open up to the higher sources and to take one into the 12th dimension. And all one would have to do would be to follow her and learn what she does. And then you could also do it.
Yeah, I think every time you expose yourself to someone that's doing it, you learn more about how to do it yourself. And if you have past-track experience, past life experience, where you have gone into higher dimensions, then somebody doing it sets an example, and you'll learn it more quickly.
Yes.
And,
she moves you into the 12th dimension. She actually moves you into it. So one can observe and see how she does that.
So since we're talking about Kimberly, let me just say her website is thehealingtrilogy.com.
Okay.
Thehealingtrilogy.com. And she will be a guest on my show this Monday. And she is doing miracles. People have a session with her, and their tumors disappear right in the session. People have... I'm watching all the people that we're sending to her. And people do have all kinds of things fix themselves. And it's not that expensive for what she does. It's $200. And if anyone's listening and says, I'm desperate, but I can't come up with $200, let me know. Let me know how much you can come up with. And maybe we'll, I'm not promising, but let me know, and maybe we can do a fundraiser so we can raise the difference for you, okay? And that would also help in the healing, you know, because everyone who gives, every time they you touch yourself, you touch another person. So don't be afraid to ask, all right? I know there are times when people are up against the wall, and believe me, I've been up against the wall. I know exactly how it feels, and it takes a certain amount of worthiness to ask. So if you can move into the worthiness, I'm probably going to get 1,000 emails that say, oh my God, what am I going to do now? I sure stuck my foot in my mouth. I'm not promising to do anything, okay? But I'm promising to at least think about what I could do, okay? So if the best thing is to come up with $200 and have a session with her. But if you can't do that, there's no way to do that. And then send me an email. You know, I'll tell you, I have done things in my life that I didn't think, I was sure I couldn't afford it at the time. I remember years ago when I was studying David Wilcock, and he was doing readings that he was charging $150 for a reading. And, I mean, that's probably living on $200 a month. That time, and somehow I got it. I came up with $150, and you know what? If I didn't do that then, I probably wouldn't be doing any of what I'm doing now. Okay, so there's a lot to be said for having intention on stuff like this, and when you really intend it, we can make it happen. So, and I watch people over and over again that won't create that intention. So I'm kind of like putting you up against the wall to create the intention. I'm telling you to do it, okay? Now, don't do it because I tell you, though. Well, let's see here. Valerie. What am I going to do with this question from Valerie in Livermore? I guess we got 3 minutes. I don't know. I love Jimi Hendrix, too. And I remember when I was in high school, I went to New York. And I used to like to go to Greenwich Village and imagine that I was a beatnik or a bohemian. And there was a club there called the Cafe WHA, W-H-A. And I went there. And I was probably like 15 years old. And I'm sitting there in the audience. And there was like 6 people in the room. And there was this guy playing guitar. And I mean, he was so good. And when you go to an event like that, you think, that, God, you have to be really good to be a guitar player these days. and I really didn't think he was anything special. I didn't know he wasn't presented as anyone special. And I forget his name, but
it wouldn't have been late, Jimi Hendrix, would it?
It was Jimi Hendrix, right. I remember sitting there, and his name was not Jimi Hendrix, though. He didn't use that name. This was before he was discovered. So I can't remember his name. And he was playing in the village. And then he went to England, and he actually launched himself in England. But I remembered while I was sitting in the room having this experience of being expanded out of my body, somewhat similar to what we experience on Whole Planet Healing, and his music was so interdimensional. Now that I'm telling that story, Valerie, I got 1 minute. And okay, here's a quick question. Valerie was at a 4th of July party with a bunch of blues musicians, and they were playing Jimi Hendrix, and the energy came into the room, and her friend said, "He thinks Jimmy is here." And then she heard a voice say in her ear, "Are you Valerie?" But no one was around her that said it. She realized it was a spiritual voice, and so our question is, was that Jimmy whispering in her ear, asking, "Are you Valerie?"
We see that the frequencies of somebody's music, the frequencies of their writing, the energy that was put into their writing, can draw them in. As it contains the energies of their soul signature. And we see it, as we look at it, we see that your friend really felt that Jimmy was there. That's the first thing we see. And distantly, very distantly, he was aware. Although he has a consciousness, his hopeful consciousness and awareness wasn't there. But we don't want to evaluate for you, and if you compare the soul signature of Jimmy, which you can get by looking at his picture, by listening to his music, when you compare that to the voice in your head, to see if those frequencies were present in that voice.